Farming on Moncrief with Mairead Lavery.
Mairead Lavery joins us once again. Good afternoon, Mairead.
Absolutely. What you were saying there about that, no women in that village, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, they've all left, basically.
Yeah, you know? Well, you see, the same thing happened in rural Ireland all through the 40s and the 50s.
Mm.
And they actually started a campaign to bring back the girls.
Did they?
They reckoned
right.
there would be no one to marry if they continued to let it happen.
Mm.
So getting the electricity in 50 years ago was one of the big signs that you were progressive and that, you know, you were going to be marriage material. So it was actually the whole rural electrification was really important because the girls were just gone. And they weren't coming back without
a bit of electricity.
Yeah. And you could have the same with broadband today, maybe.
Yeah, I think these people have the electricity and the broadband. It's just too far north.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not the only place in the world where they've had a campaign to bring back the girls.
Yeah. But apparently it's a lot. This place is in Finland and there's about 300 different villages that are essentially suffering the same thing, except they're at the bottom of every league table for demographic, you know, dwindling and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
now, you were at Ennis last week and how did that go?
Well, you know, it went brilliantly.
Mm.
And thanks very much for giving us a chance to talk about it. And Cree was, we were in Ennis Mart's, Great Mart, and Cree was doing it, and they're the West of Ireland stroke charity. So they're doing this kind of community monitoring, blood pressure monitoring right across the West of Ireland. That's where they're based. And we over 80 farmers turned up on Thursday night. Now, it takes a bit of time to get the blood pressure done and get the medical advice and, you know, get some dietary advice. So every slot was kind of like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And, you know, with 80 in the queue, there were people there waiting for a considerable time. And we actually had to draft in extra resources. So the story was good. Half of them, there was kind of like two groups, really. Half the people were very good at going to their GP. Maybe they wanted more information from a specialist nurse in this area, or more education on their diet, or maybe a little bit more on how to reduce their medications. And so, you know, very keen, up to date, knew exactly where they were, wanted maybe a bit of independent advice. Then there was the second lot. Hadn't been inside the door of a GP for the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
And this was their first step on the ladder. They think that because they're farming and they're out in the air and they're running around after animals, but they're not. They're on their quad and their quad is running around after animals or they're on their tractor or their dog is doing it. You don't see too many fat farm dogs. Anyway, not going to the doctor. And quite a few now that I spoke to, you know, I'd speak to them as they were going in and then, well, how'd you get on? What's the story? Oh, not good news. Thought I had it under control. Have to do more work. But actually on the night, two of the people who attended were immediately advised to seek medical help. Like
Genie.
That evening, they were advised not to, they were asked not to drive home and their relations were asked to come in and get them.
Crikey.
But in both cases, they met with medical, more kind of specialized medical help that evening as a direct result of the blood tests. So, if Cree or any of those organisations, there's also, you know, the people who take your bloods for cholesterol and everything, if they're offering these free services all around the country, and particularly where Cree is working, which is the kind of the Western Seaboard, you know, take advantage, go in and do it. And, you know, there was every age from their 20s to their 80s queued up that evening. And thanks, Dennis Mart, for hosting us. We ran an information evening for beef and sheep farmers. So there was a good few extra there as well. Some of them probably didn't have the courage now to go up and even get their blood pressure tested.
You can understand there's been a lot of issues around why their blood pressure might be
high.
Well, that's
it.
Know?
Well, as I said, under pressure in every sense of the word. But that's what it was. So it was a very successful evening. There was a great crowd. 80 now to come in to sit there and wait and wait. And some of them were waiting an hour and a half and more to go in and get this done. And the encouragement would be, especially for the ones who don't regularly go to GPs, or who hadn't been going to the GP, was, you know, you're in a demographic, you have X, Y, and Z, go and talk to a doctor and, you know, see what needs to be done.
Yeah. No, in terms of the pressure on beef farmers, there do seem to be little indications maybe things are going to get better. But there's Record prices for lamb in New Zealand. Why is that happening?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. For the very first time in history, we think, maybe once before it's happened, where lamb prices in New Zealand were are ahead of Ireland. And we're in the EU where we're supposed to be getting all these supports and everything like that. And now the world market price is literally the same. There was a big sale of lambs, like, you know, in Ireland, what are you talking about? You know, the standard flock, maybe 120 euros. If you had 200 lambs, you'd be doing brilliantly. If you'd be keeping back replacements. So maybe if you had 150 lambs to sell, you know, you'd be doing amazing. Out in New Zealand, you're talking about flocks of 3,000 plus yos, maybe even 4,000 or 5,000. But we had a report in from a particular sale in, I think it was the South Island, and the 3,000 lambs were sold in the space of how many minutes? 27 minutes. There was 11 lots. The auctioneer got in, sold them. The bidding was intensive, and the prices were, and sheep farmers out there will crash their cars when they hear this, €5.23 a kg. They had never seen it before. They think it's just, these are prices they never have got. Ireland, we're talking about, really good price at the moment would be €5. Mm. So why? Well, it's our friends in China. If they continue to, you know, become middle class and continue to want meat proteins, the combination of their desire for to do that, and also then the whole issue around the swine fever, the swine flu, which has left them really short of proteins. So New Zealand is picking up the benefit of it. And there is kind of, you know, talking about the beef farmers, there is a rising trend in beef prices as well, driven by that market. And driven by the fact that one source of protein has declined maybe 30% in terms of output. And the impact then on all the other sources is massive, because there's that much shortage in the system. Like, you know, there's only maybe, if the whole world ate a mouthful more, you know, we'd nearly be in famine stations.
Yes.
It's actually on a cliff edge, you know, where we are in terms of supply and demand. And supply with meat takes time. You know, it takes 5-6 years from the time you put the idea of a steak into your head to get it on your plate. It doesn't take as long now with sheep or anything, but it's still, it's not a tap that can be turned on and off so simply. But anyway, I'm delighted for the New Zealand farmers, because for the last couple of years, they've had rough times with very, very drought-ridden, you know, country, and they lost a lot of their sheep as well. So their flock is not even as big as it used to be. Their national flock has declined as well. But anyway, it's good news for New Zealand, and
given
interesting.
Given that the Chinese are influencing that, then might we start to feel the effects of this in Europe?
Well, you see, everything is, you know, the stuff is coming off the conveyor belt, there's less down the line. And markets that the French lamb used, or that the New Zealand lamb would be going into in Europe, they may not need to be sending them in here. So we're there to capture that market. But I mean, the biggest thing with that is going to be Brexit, if it happens on the 31st. And if there's no trade deal at that stage, and I don't think there will be, certainly you'd be putting a big question mark over British lamb exports over to France. And they're the biggest exporter into France. And if they can't export, we're sitting there. And, you know, it should spell good news for Irish sheep farmers.
Mm. Do you think there won't be a trade deal?
Yeah, well, there will
looks
be.
Looks like the Tories will win. So probably his deal is what we'll get.
Yeah, well, we'll see what's going to happen. Well, look, we have to see how it's all going to pan out.
You know, and
the EU is not going to give.
I foolishly said the polls say, you know, so yeah, of course, whatever that means.
But the EU is not going to. Why would the EU allow lamb to just come into the British market? Or why would they allow them to export it under the favourable terms that they have at the moment, which is within the EU?
Yeah.
I don't think I think there'd be a war if that was to happen. You know, they're going to have to, like, you know, do their time basically before they're going to get through.
Yeah. Right. And now this is, I suppose, a warning for people about a bogus vet. Or is it one bogus vet, or are there a number?
Bogus vet. Yeah. This is, there's reports of a bogus vet operating in Munster. And the warning has come from the Veterinary Council of Ireland. And it's also come from the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons in the UK. I think the person, I won't name him, even though we have him named in our paper. He has received a 7-year ban from owning, adopting, treating or being in contact with animals. And he actually received a prison sentence for that as well. So he appears to be trying to operate as a sanctuary, an animal sanctuary in Munster, in Limerick in specifically. And just farmers and vets, because there's a shortage of vets around the country, and, you know, maybe people are available. Somebody turns up and answers an ad to a locum job or to holiday cover or sick cover or something like that. But both the Veterinary College Council of Ireland and the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons are, if you want to be a vet, practice as a vet, you have to be registered as a vet. And but this particular person has had an issue around animal treatment and cruelty to animals. So
how bizarre that somebody with a prosecution for that would continue to do it.
How many people double check and triple check everything? Yeah. You know, somebody turns up and they know the business and they know what they're at. So anyway, but it's the fact that he's operating an animal sanctuary.
Right.
So
okay.
Again,
so keep an eye out for that one. Marie, thanks a million for coming in
to
us. Marie Lavery from the Farmers Journal. Back in a couple of minutes.